So on the upside, the Fed's keeping interest rates low for 2 years. On the downside, the Fed's keeping interest rates low for 2 years.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The Federal Reserve says that because of the rough economy, it's keeping its key interest rate near 0% through 2013. That's the Fed's way of influencing the rates we pay for everything from student loans to mortgages. Global stock markets are loving the news. And Phil Swagel, who teaches public policy at the University of Maryland, explains why.
Anyone who's planning investment or planning to borrow or to lend can have a sense that interest rates will remain low over a long horizon.
But if you think about it long term, the Fed's announcement is a prediction that economic growth is going to be a problem for a while. And that's exactly the worry in Silicon Valley, where some companies are taking a fresh look at the economy and postponing their plans to go public. Marketplace's Steve Henn reports.
In late June, everything was looking up for Silicon Valley investors. LinkedIn had a huge IPO. Pandora was going public. The appetite for successful tech startups was intense. Peter Cohen runs his own venture capital firm.
I was pretty excited about what I thought was going to be the beginning of an IPO wave that would culminate in, you know, $100 billion IPO for Facebook.
Then, well, you know what happened then. Cohen says even now, in the midst of all this market chaos, VCs should still be out there looking for great new companies. But
you need to have an IPO market where there are people out there who are willing to take the risk of buying shares of an IPO.
The startup economy only works when early investors like Cohen are confident if they back great ideas and it all pans out, they'll reap a reward. They need exits, ways to sell their shares and get their money back. And when the markets are nuts, those exits are hard to come by. In Silicon Valley, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
I have to admit, this last week felt a lot like that scary week in September 2008 when Lehman Brothers collapsed and sparked the financial crisis. In fact, we've had quite a few jittery moments since then when we thought we were heading back into market panic mode. There was the flash crash, the European debt crisis, the mortgage paperwork scandal. I could go on. But the bottom line is we are not as confident in the economy as we used to be. And here to talk about that with us is TV psychologist Dr. Phil McGraw, as in Dr. Phil. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what's wrong with us, Dr. Phil? Why are we so lacking in confidence?
When I hear about Americans being conservative and Americans not being confident about what's going on around them financially, to me, that sounds like they're in touch with reality, not that they're being paranoid. So to me, it seems like people are keeping their eye on the ball.
But do you think that there's some sort of post-traumatic stress going on right now, that we're so close to what we remember so vividly, this financial crisis and the recession, that we think another one is about to happen?
Well, I'm not sure that the first one is over yet, and I'm not sure that we've had a single politician yet stand up and tell us what the truth is about what's going on in this country economically. Mm. I think when people look at what's going on in the headlines, their question is, how does this impact me and my family right here at number 2 Elm Street? That's what they're interested in. And right now, they're not getting answers that give them a reason to have confidence, and I don't think we should be confident.
How is all of this economic difficulty affecting people's psychology in all kinds of other ways?
You know, during difficult times, we might lose a job, we might lose a house, we might lose a car. But what would really be tragic is if we lost our family in the process, because when there's economic trouble, that brings on stress. Stress trickles down into the family. You start playing the blame game, you start venting on one another. And the real tragedy when this thing turns around will not be if you still have a pile of bricks or a car. The real test will be, did you keep your family intact? Did you keep yourself intact? That's what's important, and I hope people keep that in mind.
Dr. Phil McGraw, thank you so much for joining us.
Best to you.
And let's do the numbers. Global markets continue to rebound this morning. Tokyo is up 1%. London up also about 0.75%, and Frankfurt up 1.5% right now. On Wall Street yesterday, stocks got back about 2/3 of what was lost in the big sell-off on Monday. The Dow jumped 429 points, or about 4%, to close at 11,239.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the internet and stopping unwanted email. Reputation.com.
Today, the Obama administration will formally ask the public for ideas to help clear out the nation's stock of foreclosed homes and fix the housing market. The most prominent idea in the mix, turning foreclosed homes into rental properties. Marketplace's Jeff Horwich reports.
A foreclosed home is a problem for the neighbors, the bank that owns it, certainly the family that lost it, but it's a problem for the rest of us, too. Banks price them at rock bottom to get rid of them, and that depresses prices for the whole market. The government, through Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and the Federal Housing Administration, owns hundreds of thousands of foreclosed homes. Nicholas Retsinas heads the Joint Center for Housing Studies at Harvard. He says these government entities are looking for ways to entice investors who will turn the foreclosures into rentals.
The problem with that is the price that the investors might desire or need to make the numbers work, to make the economics work, would require the government to take very significant upfront losses.
While the plan may help reduce the foreclosed homes on the government's books and juice the market accordingly, about half of unsold foreclosed homes are held by private banks. I'm Jeff Horwich for Marketplace.
And finally, did you hear about the plane that flew over Wall Street yesterday right by the headquarters of Standard & Poor's? It had one of those banners hanging off the back, and it said, "Thanks for the downgrade. You should all be fired." Well, the person who paid for the stunt actually wanted to have the plane flown over Washington, D.C., but she found out that due to flight restrictions, you can't do that. Oh, and we now know she's a broker from Wedbush Morgan Securities in St. Louis. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Financial news changes by the very minute. Domestic and global markets are crazy.
China's not about to move away from buying U.S. Treasuries.
The European Central Bank wading into the Spanish and Italian government bond market today.
The whole debt ceiling debate made us look dysfunctional. We all know that.
That's okay, though, because we're here. Marketplace. It's the business show for the rest of us. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.